Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the magnificent Monday edition of the Yard. I hope you had a good weekend. Mississippi State did, certainly did. We're going to talk about all that today. I think a lot of Bulldog fans feeling a lot better about the class. We still got some work to do, though. You know, you woke up this morning with Mississippi State with the number 24 recruiting class in the country. Going to have to work hard to stay in the top 25. The good thing is there are there's some room to grow, you know. And State's got some leans right now. I need to get those guys in the boat. But, yeah, I think a lot of people feel a lot more optimistic about the class. There was a lot of concern. I think it's well-sourced. I mean, I really do. I think people want Mississippi State to be extremely successful. But the bottom line was this, is they had some guys that they liked a lot, wanted to get them on campus for visits. They did. It's been two back-to-back weekends. It's been absolutely wild. And I can tell you, it's a lot of work for all of us that cover recruiting. And I can tell you, it's these Sunday post-visit wrap-up work days. It's a lot of typing, a lot of calling, a lot of texting, a lot of scrambling at times, and things happen very quickly. The good thing is we had most of the things kind of set up. You know, we knew, you know, kind of who committed and when they committed and who was going to commit for the most part. There was a few guys we, you know, we weren't sure about, but we thought that there was a possibility. And we talked about that in the bones last week, and I'll have some more bones up on some of the currently undeclared a little bit later today. But, yeah, it's been a busy stretch, man. And today begins the dead period. It'll be a 30-day dead period middle of the summer. I think everybody needs it. I think the coaches need it. The players need it. I think we need it. I think the fans need it. It's like, man, I mean, just give me a chance here to take a breath and kind of take an inventory of where we are. But, yeah, it was a great weekend for Mississippi State. And I think there's some more greatness to come. You know, could get some more greatness this week. You know, no visits this weekend, but you know, we got one guy in particular, maybe two, that you know, we're looking at thinking they may make a decision here very soon. You know, and that would be another good thing for Mississippi State. Of course, we'll cover that here on the Boneyard and over at jeanspage.com. I want to point out too that. I've talked about Nathan Purvis on the show a couple times before. You know, he's our graphics guy, and I would put Nathan up against anybody in the country. It's true. He didn't have the name recognition some other people do. He's only been doing this a few months, but you know, our recruits have really embraced the work that he has done to make their moment a little more special. You know, it's true. Make it a little more special. Give them a professional quality grade. Graphic to announce their commitment, you know, instead of them just going and grabbing a picture somewhere or whatever, you know, we want to make it as good for them as we can. And we certainly appreciate them using our work. But I can tell you this Jeans Page group text gets kind of spirited at times. As things begin to kind of roll out, it's like, okay, so-and-so just committed, or so-and-so's about to commit, or so-and-so's announcing at 4 o'clock, you know, and so it's like, okay, make sure we get this story together. Who can get him on the phone? You know, what do we have? Do we have quotes yet? And in the middle of all this, Nathan just kind of quietly works and puts together a graphic and reaches out to the player. And you know, a lot of times they get those pictures from their photo shoot, and they want to use those. You know, we do the best we can, but we like to coordinate that with the young man to make sure that it's what they want, you know, to what's to their choosing. And we've had a couple people that have said, you know, hey, I wish I'd have waited. You know, we've had a couple guys that have tweeted out a graphic that was made by somebody else or made by, you know, Mississippi State's people. And they said, you know what, I wish I'd have waited and got your graphic. But, yeah, really appreciative of everybody over at Jeans Page that have worked so hard the last couple weekends. It can be difficult. It can be. You know, you spend all week kind of getting ready, make sure you get numbers on everybody. You reach out, confirm visits and things like that. And try to make sure you get things going in the right direction. But, yeah, it gets it's a lot of fun. It is. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun, and especially when things happened yesterday. And you guys make it so much fun. You know, it's like a kid tweets out a graphic announcing his commitment, and all of a sudden you just see things explode, you know. And you see all of you guys, you know, retweeting and liking their announcement. Some of you comment, welcome to the family. Message boards get kind of wild. Facebook gets crazy. you know, but you guys make it fun. And I think that stuff matters to young people, too. I joked a little bit with, and we'll talk about him a little bit later, but Reed Stallman, first baseman from Campbell that announced his decision yesterday morning, kind of kicked off our day with a baseball portal commitment. That's always nice. I joked with him. I said, hey, your mentions and your followers are about to explode. And he laughed and he said, yeah. Well, he started the day at 501 Twitter followers. Now he's got 635. You know, so Bulldogs added 134 new followers, not to mention I'm sure his analytics were through the roof yesterday. And really excited about him. But again, we'll talk about him a little bit later in the show. We're going to take care of football first. But before we do, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. Man, I love Bulldog Burger Company. I think I'm going to get in there today. We ate there last week. Well, I've been getting it to go so I can go eat with Dana at the spa. And I am so impressed with how quickly they get things together and how neat and orderly everything is. And when I walk in there, too, of course, they know me. You know, and my youngest son, Ian, works there, you know. And so a lot of times it gives me a chance to visit with him for a few minutes. But I have never had a Bulldog Burger Company experience where I walked away and said, you know what, that was kind of lacking, you know. Even when I get it to go, it's great. It is. I mean, the packaging they use, I mean, you know how it was. We were kids. I mean, Mom goes down to the burger joint, and they just wrap it all up and throw it in a sack, and the bottom of the sack's got, you know, hamburger juice and gravy and everything else. Bottom might even fall out. You know what I'm saying? But, like, nowadays, it's like, you know, if you just have a long work day and you think, you know, I really want Bulldog Burger Company, but I don't have time to sit, or I've got people I've got to go be with, you can go through there and you can get it to go, and you get it home and it's still warm. It's great. It's great. Three great locations to serve: you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there, and Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. I got to think, it's a big decision, right? I mean, I like so many of the things on the menu. I have to kind of think, what do I want to do? Which direction will I go? You know, there's really not a bad path, no matter what you choose. But we got to get the spring rolls. I didn't get them my last visit, and it shows in the mirror, guys. It does. It does. I mean, I'm getting older. I've got to stay on top of this beauty care regimen, and the spring rolls are a big part of that. They will make you and everybody around you better looking. Might even swing in there and give me a chocolate shake. I may not tell Dana. I may just go get, like, I'll order my chocolate shake and, like, pick it up and drink it on the way to the spa. That's probably what I'll do. I mean, I may not even get her one. I may just get one for me. No, I'm kidding. I'll get her one, too. But you need to get one for yourself. Get that chocolate shake to go. You'll be glad you did. Maybe get that Chipley's bread pudding. Make it an event, man. Make it an event. Celebrate life with our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, let's go back and look at the weekend. It was. You know, one of the things that we've noticed here under Jeff Lebby, you know, Jeff Lebby, who I like a ton, I like the fact that Jeff is like, you know what, I'm not going to do things the traditional way. You know, we're going to do things our way. You know, we didn't have a lot of June visits over the years. They just started that a few years ago. You know, kind of opened that up shortly after the, you know, when they put the December signing period in. That's when people kind of realized, well, you know, hey, if we put this thing in December and you have a recruit that plays for a state championship, you know, they may just play all fall long and never get a chance to take an official visit. Make sense? Yeah, sure. Of course it does. It's like, yeah, guys are wanting to decide and sign earlier, so we need to allow them to take official visits earlier. So they said, you know what, we'll do it in the month of June. Because when you get into August, everybody's involved in fall camp. They've got camp themselves. And then, of course, they had the wisdom to kind of put in this, you know, this July summer dead period, which is a great thing, which is kind of going to be the theme of our top 10 today, too, celebrating the dead period. But, yeah, so I think Joe brought a couple people in. You know, Joe had a few. We just didn't utilize the June visits much. And we've had 30 official visitors in the month of June. 30. It's nuts, man. And you would think, you know, when they first started doing this, I thought to myself, maybe these early visits is not the way to go. Because how many times have we talked about that? With the traditional recruiting calendar, you want the last visit. How many times have we heard that? You want the last visit because a lot of guys are impressionable And not to mention, especially in this day of NIL and all the craziness that goes along with that, you'd like to know, right? You get that last visit, kind of gives you a chance to leave a lasting impression on these young people. But Levy's like, you know what? We're going to do this. We're going to attack this thing in June. And I began to wonder, well, how many guys would really take an official in June? You know, they changed the limitations on it. It used to be just 5 official visits. And you got to thinking, well, they probably wouldn't take one of their visits in June unless they knew exactly where they wanted to go. Not to mention, wouldn't you want your guys on campus for those December recruiting visits to help you recruit, you know, those last few pieces? Well, they changed it. And so now you get unlimited visits, provided you get somebody to invite you in on one. And we've done some things that are different, that are kind of unique to Jeff Lebby and his staff. In addition to that, speaking of different, you're starting to see guys commit on Saturday nights. Like when they do the photo shoot, that's happened a couple times now. You know, guys will get out there and put it out there, and they'll be in the middle of a photo shoot. We saw that. And our first guy this week came on Saturday night, Davion Jackson from Westgate High School there in New Iberia, Louisiana. If you've never been to New Iberia, Louisiana, you owe it to yourself at some point to take that trip. Just down the road is Avery Island, the home of Tabasco, which is the superior pepper sauce. It's not even close. I'm not going to chase this rabbit trail long, but I'll tell you, it's so funny. When you get around New Orleans, they all want Crystal. But when you get to Baton Rouge and get west, get more towards Acadiana, it's Tabasco all the way. They wouldn't even dream of using Crystal. It's weird. I'm a Tabasco person. I even put it on popcorn. But back to Davion Jackson. 247 rates him as an 88, which is ahead of the composite. The composite is 85.67. So once again, 247 rating a player ahead of the industry average. That was one of the things last year. A lot of people, it wasn't true, but a lot of people began to kind of push this narrative. Well, 247 doesn't like our kids. 247 is not Mississippi State friendly. That's completely false. Now, I'm going to get into some of that a little later, too. But Davion, listed as an athlete, will play a wide receiver. Bumpus is his guy. This guy can absolutely fly. You know, Neil Stubchinski is the guy that does, former director of scouting at Mississippi State, works with us now kind of part-time. He made a comment last night that I thought was interesting. And I think that's it's always good to get people that know what they're doing. You know what I mean? Like the people that understand kind of how the world works. Football is a game played by very big individuals that can run really fast. And here's the quote from Neil. Lots of track stars coming through at the bird positions. You know, and bird positions is kind of slang for skill positions because you need players that can fly, right? Well, Davion Jackson's one of those guys. That guy can absolutely roll. And you start looking at, okay, what were his options, Steve? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Well, he had an offer from Arkansas, Arkansas State, Houston, Louisiana, Miami, Ole Miss, and Texas San Antonio. He took an OV out to UTSA, and now he's committed to Mississippi State. And one of the main reasons why is Chad Bumpus. Chad's done a great job. I mean, an absolutely amazing job as a recruiter. I mean, I think last year, him and Cody Kennedy, probably the guys that carried the class for the most part. You know, but Bump was just kind of a notch ahead of everybody. I think if we're fair about it, even, and we're biased because he's our guy, but, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. And Davion Jackson said, you know, Coach Bump is my guy. Chad does such a great job kind of getting to know these people and to make them feel important to him. And if you've ever been around Chad, you know, there's this energy and vibe with Chad. I mean, it's like, it's hard not to be happy around Chad Bumpus. He's always smiling. He's always having a good time. And you can see why he would do a good job on the recruiting trail. And he has. I would encourage you, you don't have to be a subscriber, but go pull up some of these profiles and watch the highlights and watch them run away. Right, watch them run away from other players, because that's the thing about SEC prospects, right? You don't have to talk yourself into it. The film speaks for itself. An SEC football player on a high school level is going to run away from other players. They're not going to get run down from behind. You know, occasionally, you know, it might be in a dead heat, you know, because there's other teams out there that got SEC players too. But you never want to see a wide receiver come into your program that gets run down in the open field. You know, when he catches that deep post and splits the face of the safety, whatever. You want to see him get to the end zone. You want finishers. You don't just want fighters. You want finishers. And that's what Davion Jackson is. Really, really, really excited about him. I think he's an undervalued guy, too. And this is a guy that already knows where the weight room is, too. You know, so he's got a chance to probably come in and compete, you know, pretty early in his career. I'm at the point now where I don't expect a ton of freshmen, you know, to come in annually and compete. But the way Levy and Bumpus are targeting these wide receivers, they're getting some horses. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about that. They are getting some horses. All right, another commitment we picked up too. Now you got 2 weeks in a row, you got two running backs in, and you get them both committed. We had a chance to see Jerron Johnson in camp here a couple weeks ago, I guess. And he ran a sub 4.3 40 in Palmeiro. Now, the Palmeiro is a little bit of a fast track, but it's not that fast, right? You're not going to have a guy that routinely runs a 4.6 or 4.5 somewhere else come drop down a 4.2. Right, so you say, okay, well, even if we give, you know, a half second or even a full second, he's still sub 4.4. You talk about explosive, and you go watch his film, and here's one where 2.47 is a little bit behind the industry average, and we hope to get that changed. We've got him rated as an 87. He's an 88.5 with the composite. Rivals really likes him. Rivals has him as a 4-star. I'm going to get to some ranking stuff a little bit later, too. But this is a guy, too, that, you know, his recruitment was a little late getting going. But offers from, of course, Mississippi State. You got Alabama State, Arkansas State, Austin Peay, Marshall, Memphis, Miami, Murray State, North Alabama, Ole Miss. And that's, he went to a camp recently. It's not like Ole Miss threw him an offer back in December, you know, with one of those Ed Orgeron bulk mailer type offers. He went to camp and earned an offer. Southern Illinois, Tennessee State, UNLV, UT Martin, and Southeast Missouri State. But yeah, I mean, not a star-studded offer list, but that here's the thing. When you're taking two running backs, and we are, and we may take a guy out of Portal 2 because we have three seniors, you can afford to take a guy like this. You know, when you just say, you know what, this guy came to camp, he has the build, he has the physique, he has the vision, he has the speed in which we need to move this offense forward. So, yeah, you may say, you know what, it's not a very decorated running back. And again, I think a lot of this, too, number one, we've only got one amazing running back in the state this year, and he's committed to Ole Miss. And, hey, good for them. We really wanted him. And I think there's a sizable gap between him and the rest of the group. But watching Jerron in person, I can see the intrigue with him, for sure. And again, a lot of offers, but not a lot from the Power Five. I know many of you, that's how you think, right? It's not just about who we get, it's who we beat to get them. And that's a tough way sometimes to evaluate because so many of these offers are either not reported or misreported or misunderstood. There's a lot of kids out there that, you know, claim offers that they can't commit to. But it does help me a little bit, too, when you look at the success that, you know, Ole Miss running backs have had in recent years. When you look at the fact that, hey, this kid went to Ole Miss, earned an offer, came to Mississippi State, earned an offer, and then picked Mississippi State. So, yeah, we'll take that. We'll take that, too. You ever Googled yourself? You may be alarmed to know exactly how much of your private information and data is out there for anybody to access. Whether it be your phone number, your home address, or details about your family, it could be your kids' names, their ages. Whether you agree to this disclosure or not, and that's because data brokers are collecting and selling your information to marketers, scammers, and basically anyone willing to pay. It's the reason robocallers know your name, and while ads seem to follow you on every digital platform out there, well, Aura fights back for you. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a data breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just data broker removal. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your life online. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager to keep all your logins safe, and they even give you spam call protection to cut off those stupid scammers. Aura also scans the dark web regularly for your most sensitive information, like your social security number, bank logins, passwords, and they will notify you instantly if you are somehow exposed. If your identity is ever stolen, you're backed up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support to help you recover everything quickly. Other services charge about the same, but they only cover one or two areas. With Aura, you get it all. Data broker removal, credit and identity monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all with one simple app. Aura removes what is already exposed, protects what isn't, and puts you back in control. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That gives them plenty of time to go ahead and start protecting your data. They can remove your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are all safeguarded. That's Aura, aura.com/remove. Certain terms and conditions apply. Be sure and check it out today at aura.com. All right, let's see here. Let me find our next one here. It was a fun day. How about Mario Nash? Now, Mario Nash is a guy I have said from the beginning that I expected to be at Mississippi State. Now, this is not about me. This is about him. But Mario Nash is a guy from just down the road there in Kemper County, right? Lives outside of Scuba. But this is a guy that has been extremely well-traveled in his recruitment. I give his dad a ton of credit. When a school has offered him, they've gotten in the car. It's like, let's go check it out. We're going to be very thorough in what we do. We're going to make a very well-informed decision. But even from the very beginning, it just one of those situations, man, it just felt like Mario Nash fit Mississippi State. And when you think about how close that family is, you know, being just down the road, I know that factored into the decision. I know it did. And I give Cody Kennedy a lot of credit, too. Cody Kennedy came in and made Mario feel like a priority from the very beginning. Anytime that we had anything going on, they invited Mario to it. And that's good recruiting. You got to make guys feel like they matter to you. They're not just, hey, well, I'll go get another guy. I think Mario Nash really felt at home at Mississippi State because Jeff Labby, Cody Kennedy, everybody involved had this very welcoming vibe about them. And again, Mario was, it was really down between State and Florida State. And, you know, Mario recently tripped to LSU last weekend. You know, I share that because there's a lot of people out there. Again, we talk about you watch the visits. Well, Mario visited LSU last weekend, commits to Mississippi State this weekend. And so I think it adds some validity. But here's the offer sheet. You don't have to just take it from me. You know, it's out there. It's out there. I'm going to run them down for you. It's lengthy. We're going to start with Akron. Joe Moorhead trying to get in the mix there. Well, you know, makes sense. Then Alabama, Alcorn State, Auburn, Boston College, Clemson, Colorado, Duke, Florida, Florida A&M, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Houston, Illinois, Jackson State, Kentucky, LSU, Maryland, Memphis, Miami, Michigan, Mississippi Valley State, Missouri, Ohio State, Ole Miss, and he tripped there too, Oregon, Penn State, Purdue, Southern Miss, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Tulane, USC, and Virginia Tech, among others. So, yeah, this is a guy that arguably the most decorated guy in the class to this point. And, again, it just shows the level of commitment that this staff had to get him into the class. And you get two offensive linemen now committed, and I love them both. I don't dislike them. I love them. I think both Clemens and Nash are going to be big-time guys. Now, Clemens is a little more raw in his development. Mario is pretty polished for a high school guy. He is a guy, if you get a chance to watch him this year, he's going to dominate just because of the fact it's not just because he's bigger and more physical. He is a guy that has very good technique for a high school guy. Moves his feet well, really good at 3 points of contact. He does a lot of good things Watching him drop back in his pass sets, you can tell he's very confident what he does. He doesn't panic. And considering how much we want to throw it, you're going to need guys like him. But yeah, huge, huge, huge. We have him rated as a 90. The composite is 90.2. So everybody kind of consistently within the industry is like, you know what? This Mario Nash kid is legit. And he absolutely is. I'll be surprised if he doesn't play in the NFL someday. Provided he stays healthy and works hard, I'll be very surprised if he doesn't. Probably be an interior guy. But this is a guy that's really, really good. Really good. And we needed a big in-state win too, right? It's been a while, you know. Last weekend, you know, you go out and you get all, some of these three-star out-of-state guys and people are like, well, yay, but I don't know who they are, right? Mario Nash is a name that has been in the Mississippi State recruiting conversation now for about a part of 3 years. And then we bring it home. Great, great job by Coach Kennedy and Coach Lebby and the full staff. Just a great, great job. All right. Who's next? What's Virgil Shepherd? Love this guy, too. Now, this is a guy from the very beginning. If you go back and read his profile, you can see there was a lot of LSU chatter. And it's because, number one, he's from Scotland Vilmagen High School, which is in extreme north Baton Rouge. I joked with him yesterday. I said, I know where the avenues are. I've eaten at Tony's Seafood on Plank Road more times than I can count. You know, it's true. But this is a guy right there in the cradle of purple and gold that's headed to Mississippi State. Now, he doesn't have an LSU offer, so that's going to be a consideration. Throughout this process, you say, you know what? If LSU offers him, it may be trouble for us. And it's true. We've been through it with Malik Nabers. We talked about that last week on the show. But Virgil Shepherd, rated a 91 by 247, which is actually well ahead of the industry average. It's the composite is 88.3. So I won't be shocked once everybody else begins to rate him that the composite changes a little bit. I don't know that he's a 91, but he's certainly not an 88. But this kid's a legitimate four-star. And when you see his gait in the open field, like when they throw the ball down the field with him, he has this incredible catch radius. And he does a really good job of securing the catch without having to slow down. When the ball is thrown on time and on target, it's a beautiful thing. Because he catches it and runs. I asked him yesterday, I said, what should Mississippi State fans expect when you take the field at Davis Wade Stadium? He said, touchdowns. That's it. Touchdowns. I love it, man. I absolutely love it. And, again, a guy that Bumpus has just done an amazing job on. I mean, just really has made the guy feel welcome. And he talked about that, you know, when he went. He said, you know, Mississippi State is just a little different. You know, it's just a little different. It's got a different vibe. And I think a lot of that, too, is you know, I think having a younger staff, having a little juice is a good thing. And that's not being critical of anybody else. But especially when you're the new kids in town and you're trying to get established and trying to build a brand of your own, you got to be a little different. You have to be. Looking at his offer sheet here, Alabama State, Arkansas, Arkansas State, Baylor, Grambling, Louisiana, Nicholls State, Texas Tech, UTSA. And again, no offer from LSU, at least not yet. We'll see how things go. Hopefully LSU will fill up or they'll, you know, like somebody else better, chase some kid out of Texas or whatever. But I'll be crossing my fingers all the way to signing day because I think Shep is a dude, man. They call him Zell. His name is Frizzell, but his friends call him Zell. So I guess you can call him Zell too. But only OV he's taken is to Mississippi State. Not sure he's going to plan anymore, but again, you've got a handful of Power 5 offers in there to kind of validate your own evaluation, right? I'm a firm believer in believing in your own evaluation, but other people get out there on the limb with you. You can like, you know, okay, well, yeah, it wasn't just me, right? Now, I want to share with you, too, the last commitment of the day, and Austin Howard. Touched on that a little bit last week. We did our visit preview. I'll tell you guys this. Austin Howard is the kind of young man that you send to Media Day. This, you talk about a young man that is so mature beyond his years. So incredibly impressed. I had to tweet about it. This young man, his family has done an amazing job of raising him and teaching him values and teaching him ethics. He knew what he wanted to do pretty much as soon as he got to campus, right? And we've only been on him for a couple weeks, you know. But 247 has him rated as an 86. The composite has him as an 87, you know, so pretty much consistent there. I'd like for us to be ahead of that, but nevertheless, there's some consistency. It's not like a Terrence Hibbler situation that still absolutely chaps my hide. But this Austin Howard young man, 6'3", 225-pound Mike linebacker, and you see the picture that we tweeted out. It is legit. But I tell you, he knew that he wanted to come to Mississippi State. And it was, in some respects, it was kind of heartbreaking. He was excited about this, but he had given Vandy his word. He had committed to Vanderbilt. And again, he's from a family that values education and doing things the right way. And he did not want the coaches that had recruited him to find out on social media. He felt that he needed to pick up the phone and call them and say, hey, here's what's going on. Now, Vanderbilt, listen, you know, our friend Barton Simmons worked with us for years. He's on staff there. They understand where the rubber meets the road, right? They understand Vanderbilt's place within this conference. But I tell you this, after talking to Austin Howard, I could see why everybody at Vanderbilt would want him to be a part of their program, but also to probably expect him to honor the commitment. Because when you talk to him, you can figure this thing out with him. That this is a young man that this was not an easy decision for him. To just say, you know what? I'm done with Vanderbilt. He handled it the right way. And a lot of these young people do. And most don't, but a lot of them do. But the way that he spoke about them in our interview, and you can read that, it's for free. It's over jeanspage.com. And I didn't include every one of the quotes, but you know, because it's about Mississippi State. But it was a difficult decision for him. It was hard for him to pick up the phone and have to tell Vanderbilt he wasn't coming. It was. And you could hear it in his voice, how difficult it was and what it meant to him and how there was almost a kind of a grieving process. But he said, you know what, Mississippi State, this is better for my future. This is what I want to do. Really like the folks there. And I don't think Vandy's going to go away by any stretch. But it says a lot about his character and about his upbringing that he was so concerned about Vanderbilt, so concerned about their feelings and their impression of him. And you're like, you know what, Coach, I'm going to go to Mississippi State. And, I mean, they get it. They do. But I think it speaks volumes about a guy like him. When you think about when it's fourth and goal at the one in Tuscaloosa and the game is on the line, this is the kid I want making the play. Those are the kind of people you win with. Because when we talk about young people today, and there's so many young people today that I know I'm going to sound like the get off of my lawn thing, but and that's one of the things I've tried to impress upon my kids, is you have to speak for yourself. And a lot of times it's so much easier to just ghost somebody, right? Just take the easy way out. I'll just tweet out a graphic and I won't answer anybody's calls or texts, or I'll block everybody's numbers. That's the easy and childish way to do things. Now, you look at that, some people grow out of that, many don't. You know, I hear the stories of some of you middle-aged folks in the dating world, and it's true that there's a lot of that still happens, acting like teenagers. I'm not going to chase that tangent, but my point being is that I like people that don't take the easy way out. And there's a couple of reasons why. Number one, it shows that they have character. They have character. Number two, what it shows me is, you know what, I can trust that this person is not making an emotional decision. You got to think about Howard, been committed to them for a few months now. And then he has to pick up the phone and say, you know what, guys, this is what I'm going to do. That tells me he was absolutely certain that he wanted to come to Mississippi State. Because why put yourself through that level of uncomfortability if you're not sure? Because I've got to go back on my word, And for a person like him, that clearly his word means something to him, you can tell that Mississippi State has done a good job with him, because he would not have undertaken that very awkward conversation just for the fun of it. And I think these are the kinds of people you build a program around. Incredibly impressed with that young man. Incredibly impressed. And so that's your commitments. Of course, we got a hold of just about everybody yesterday. We got a couple more we'll get out today and tomorrow. But it was a very, very, very interesting weekend. But your batting average has been really good. First weekend, you go 9-for-15, and then you bring in some kids this weekend that are already committed, obviously. And we're going to talk a little bit more about them a little bit later, kind of what to expect. But when you run through this thing, man, you start thinking, the Bulldogs have kind of figured out how to get guys on campus and get them committed once they visit. And again, there's a couple guys that didn't visit that we do expect to commit before this process is over. But it's so interesting to pull up the visit list and see the majority of these guys have the state script now next to their name as verbally committed. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. Blair is our friend. He's my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Blair's been doing this forever in a day, if I can get it out. Call or text him today. It's 601-500-2344. That goes directly to him, not to a call center or receptionist. A lot of these big mortgage houses is what they do, and then all of a sudden you start having some issues. You can't get information from your loan officer. Blair will give you the personal attention you deserve. Whether you're looking to buy a game day condo, which could be more affordable than you think, or you're looking to start life out. Maybe you're getting married, maybe you're getting divorced, maybe you're getting a job transfer, maybe it's a life reset for you. Rather than have things just kind of pile up on you, let Blair take this whole mortgage thing out of your hands and get you to the closing table. One less thing to worry about. 23 years of experience, back-to-back-to-back years, top 1% close ratio in the country. That's the way to go. A lot of people out there are going to say, we'll just go down to the bank. That may be a good option for you, but I can tell you, when you deal with somebody that specializes in mortgage loans, they know the latest underwriting guidelines. They can be your advocate with underwriting. And Blair's the kind of guy that's going to be able to structure a loan that's best for you. And I can always recommend this, get pre-qualified. You want to get your real estate agent really motivated, and we have some great ones in this state. You get that pre-qualification thing. You're not wasting your time or their time, maybe looking at houses that are kind of beyond your means. There's a thing called debt-to-income ratio. They want you to be around 45%. It's true. But get pre-qualified makes life a lot easier for you, and Blair can help you with that. It's closewithblair.com. Okay, today is the first day of a dead period. We're going to celebrate the dead period. I've got to work through some edits and rewrites on the dude so we can get that done. I'm going to get that done this week, and we'll be good to go. And then next thing you know, that thing heads off to typesetting and printing and binding and all that good stuff. And so again, the hope is to have the book out for you guys late August, early September. Late August may be a little bit ambitious, but that's what they're telling us. About 6 week turnaround. So we'll do our part. But so I've got some things to work on. I mean, the grind never ends. We're going to celebrate the dead period because it is very labor intensive covering these official visit weekends and camps and things of that nature. So we kind of need some time to work on some other things, but we're still going to be giving you full coverage of everything over at Gene's page. We'll keep up with the kids. We'll keep up with the recruits. A lot of baseball stuff working through, too. Many of you kind of learning about your signing class for the first time. But so we're going to do Songs with Dead in the title to celebrate the opening of the summer dead period. Dead in the title. Not trying to be macabre here or anything like that, But anyway, dead. No Grateful Dead. No Dead and Company. Number 10, and if you guys played Rock Band with your kids years ago, You know this song. It's from L7, punk band out of California, all-female group, very, very successful group. They had a track on Rock Band soundtrack called Pretend We're Dead. Pretend We're Dead. That's your number 10 track, L7. Number 9, one of the best concept albums for this generation. My favorite concept album of all time is Operation Mindcrime from Queensryche. But from this generation, it's The Black Parade from My Chemical Romance. And they have a track on there called Dead. And it's not a hard, heavy thing. It's actually kind of upbeat. But I love MCR. I'm glad they've reunited. And if you don't know The Black Parade album, I encourage you to put it on and just let it kind of bathe over you. And you'll find Dead in there too. Number 8, a band that I had to kind of warm up to a little bit, and this is my favorite song from them. And I really, really, really got into this song when Dan was out in New Mexico. And a lot of it too is, it's so funny. You know, sometimes I put songs on repeat just because I like the vibe. And this is one, I think I probably traveled 100 miles to the song. It was so crazy. But it's City of the Dead from Hollywood Undead. Hollywood Undead, City of the Dead. And the thing about City of the Dead, you know, I spent some time in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and in many respects, that moniker applies. It's a rough place, man. It really is. And Dana's car got broken into twice out there. She disputes the second one, but I know better. And the first time, I think all they stole was like a flashlight and some sleeping bags. We don't keep anything valuables in the car, but that was kind of our attitude. It's like, you know what? Whoever took those sleeping bags probably needed them worse than we did. But the fentanyl problem out there is of epidemic proportions. Goodness, Steve. It's tough, man. It is. And I'll give you a quick story, too. I spoke to a member of law enforcement when I was out there, and there are a bunch of them in that neck of the woods doing a very, very difficult job. Very difficult job. And he told me that they had made a stop of this older gentleman, much older. And in all the canisters that he had some like authentic Mexican spices and stuff. There were narcotics like hidden in these canisters, these jars. And he told them that three of his granddaughters had been kidnapped by the Mexican cartel. And every time that he made a mule run for them, they would release a member of his family. And the cop looked at me with this look on his face, and he goes, what do you do? You know, what do you do? You know, what's the right thing to do? You know, that's the kind of stuff they're having to deal with out there. It's nuts, man. And as I shared with you guys before, like, I'm a big Breaking Bad fan. And the Doghouse, you know, was a little local place out there. Maybe the best chili dogs I've ever had. Maybe. But, you know, when Dana lived in Old Town out there in Albuquerque, which is a nice little neighborhood, it's kind of a pedestrian community. People can get out and walk. And it's a few blocks away there. There's this plaza. And during the day, these homeless people gather there because the city will allow them to do so. And they sleep during the day because at night, in many respects, they're having to fight for their lives. It's crazy. I don't mean to harsh you out here. Not trying to kill your buzz, but they've got some real problems out there. Zach and Arnett and I talked about that a lot too. You know, he's from Albuquerque. He doesn't spend a lot of time out there. It's a tough spot, man. It really is. But Hollywood Undead, City of the Dead, number 8. Number 7, one of my favorite bands. And this is an album that maybe didn't get the notoriety some of the other ones did. But it's 10 years Dancing with the Dead. And Jesse, the vocalist, great guy. I've met him several times. I've had a chance to visit with him, spend some time with him. Love these guys. Love everything they've ever done. Going all the way back to the very beginning, Killing All That Holds You. And then kind of working your way forward. Many of you know the song Wasteland. That was their first big kind of breakthrough hit. But they're still doing it, man, at a high level. And I think they've matured. They've got a new life in the band here in recent years. I think the last two albums have been spectacular. All right, number 6, and you know we couldn't go do a Dead list without these guys. It's Megadeth with Wake Up Dead off Peace Sells, But Who's Buying? You know, and that's a legendary album in my estimation. It goes back to many, many years, but I was in high school when that thing came out. Everybody knows the song Peace Elves, but Wake Up Dead also, another track that has some notoriety on that album. And, you know, Dave Mustaine and Megadeth, you know, of course, that band born out of his departure from Metallica. They talk all the time about the big four, you know, in thrash metal, you know, Anthrax, Slayer, Metallica, Megadeth. And Dave's a guy that's in recovery, and, you know, wish him the best with all of that. He's done a lot of things with his time, money, and effort to help other people achieve sobriety. Number five, kind of changing things a little bit here. We're going to get a little less, I guess maybe macabre is the word, right? It's Van Halen. It's Drop Dead Legs off 1984, which is a great album. It's a little more commercial, you know, from what they've done. You know, if you look at those first few albums, man, I mean, it was just ridiculous. And it was a little more radio friendly, I guess. You got to think. I mean, you get the very first Van Halen album begins with, you know, Running with the Devil, right? I mean, that was our introduction to Van Halen is Running with the Devil, you know. I think that was probably one of those things that was some very timely marketing considering the climate in the country at the time. But Drop Dead Legs, that's your number five track. I love that track, man. I do. And I think the guitar on it is ridiculous. I watch a lot of reels like many of you do. And I love when the Eddie Van Halen stuff comes up and he talks about, you know, his setup and how he didn't use a lot of pedals and things like that. And, you know, when you can play, you don't have to cover a lot of stuff up. That's why he was the greatest, man. He really was. He really changed everything in music. Number four, another guy that had some trouble with addiction. And Scott Weiland and Stone Temple Pilots, we're going to go back. Great track, great percussion, great vocal. It's Dead and Bloated from Stone Temple Pilots. Because I am smelling like a rose, right? It's an amazing track. And I don't even know if it was ever officially released as a single. I think it's one of these songs that the fans just kind of willed along. All right, number three, it's Iron Maiden. Anytime we can work Maiden into a top 10 list, it's a great thing. I mean, I may just find a way to do that all the time. Iron Maiden, you know, it's like, it's so funny. You see these political rallies and that kind of stuff. And they say, man, look at all these people. Yeah, go look at an Iron Maiden show, pal, okay? And those people paid to be there. You really want to see one of the world's greatest rock bands of all time, it's Be Quick or Be Dead from Maiden, number three. Love those guys, man. I tell you, one of my favorite tracks that's not a Maiden track that Bruce Dickinson sang on is Tattooed Millionaire. Absolutely love that song, man. And it's rumored to be about Nikki Sixx and Motley Crue, who supposedly had a bit of a liaison with Bruce's wife where supposedly she didn't let him know that she was married. And so Bruce rumored to have written a song about it. You know, the song is about Nikki and his little entourage, right? But Nikki said later that she never said she was married. Speaking of Motley, number two. Back off the Shout at the Devil album, which was my gateway, I guess. It's been so long, right? But I did buy Shout at the Devil first. I want to say that I saw Livewire on MTV before I bought the Shout at the Devil album. And of course, Livewire is on Too Fast for Love. But so I guess technically Too Fast for Love was the gateway album. My first album, I bought Shout at the Devil and then went back and bought Too Fast for Love. And I love Too Fast for Love, even though the Elektra didn't spend much money on the production value of it. A lot of people say, oh, those songs are so much better. I disagree. I think Shout at the Devil was really the breakthrough album for Motley Crue. And one of my favorite songs on that album is Knock 'Em Dead Kid. Number two, Knock 'Em Dead Kid. Mick Mars, I think, a shining moment. I mean, when you go back and you think about guitar tone and things of that nature, and Mick, a big Jeff Beck fan, but with an edge. And I like Mick's solo album that dropped earlier this year. But the guitar tone on Shout at the Devil, to me, is just unmistakable. Like when I know Mick Mars when I hear Mick Mars, because Mick has a sound that's kind of unique and all his own. Number one, though, and you probably can guess this one. It's true. It's A Dead Man's Party from Oingo Boingo. No, it's not that one. Silly. No. It's Bon Jovi Wanted Dead or Alive. And I did finish up the, you know, Good Evening and Good Night or whatever, the Bon Jovi documentary. And I understand that Richie's come out and said some things that, well, it was one person's perspective. Richie was a part of it, you know, and I wish those guys would reunite. Even though Bon Jovi is still, a few years ago, they had the most lucrative tour in the world without Richie. And maybe that's part of the saltiness. But, you know, when you think about the songs of our youth, for most of us, I don't know that anybody did a better job, especially with those harmonies, than John and Richie. And I think it really shines through here. And, of course, there's the acoustic versions out there. But, you know, to hear Richie, you know, singing back up on Wanted Dead or Alive, it's just one of those things that kind of sets you apart. And for many of us, way back February 13th, 1987, we were in the Mississippi Gulf Coast Arena, and we saw Cinderella and Bon Jovi. And we could not believe our good fortune to get tickets. Sold out almost immediately. And we went down there. We had a great time. I was just a kid. Had to rake yards and mow yards and things like that to make some money. Because I wanted, not only did I want to go to the show, but I wanted to go buy shirts. And I got a Bon Jovi shirt and a Cinderella shirt. If I looked hard enough, I might could find that old Bon Jovi shirt. But I don't have that Cinderella shirt. I had to rebuy that recently. I did. Got me a Cinderella Night Song shirt. Because I'm still about that life. It's true. But Wanted Dead or Alive is just one of those songs. And it's so funny. People are like, well, John, you're from New Jersey. You know, what's interesting, too, is in the documentary they discuss the original photo shoot, they were going to name Slippery When Wet Wanted Dead or Alive. That was going to be the name of the album. And then Doc McGee's like, John, we're not doing this. Yeah, you know, you're not cowboys, you know. And so Slippery When Wet became the new title. And the original cover was somewhat controversial. By today's standards, it would be almost like something fit for a church hymnal. It's ridiculous how things have changed. But they just changed everything. You know, it's like they had this, let's just say, attractive and well-shaped young lady on the front with a wet T-shirt on. And people are like, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that, you know. But so they changed it. They said, hey, you know, Walmart and Kmart and a lot of national retailers refused to carry this album because of the imagery on the cover. And so they changed it. And but anyway, Wanted Dead or Alive, one of those songs that I think everybody knows. And I'll tell you this, the John Bon Jovi album for Young Guns 2, and I love Young Guns 2, and I've said it before on the show, I think it's better than Young Guns 1. I like them both. I love them both. Young Guns 2 is a little bit better. It's true. And maybe it's because of Dirty Steve. Like, maybe I just didn't like that, you know, in Season 1. But nevertheless, I thought Young Guns 2 was amazing. And of course, you know, Kiefer Sutherland's in that movie. We recently lost Donald Sutherland. You know, it's part of life, man. It is. And someday I'll be gone too. They won't be, may not be any palm leaf parades or anything like that. But, you know, we got to take advantage of the time we got while we're here. But that's your top 10 list for today. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. We do have a list, but you could jump to the top of the list if you have something interesting, right? If you have something interesting, we'll do it on the show. We'll even give you credit if you want it. A lot of people like, hey, you don't have to mention me, but here's the thing. There are other people that are like, hey, here's like five ideas for the top 10 list. And more times than not, they're really good. And we get to them in time. But it's so interesting. I've had somebody a while back asked me if I would do a psychedelic furs top 10 list. And I'm thinking, the psychedelic furs, do they even have 10 songs? You know, and of course they do. But yeah, there's some people that were kind of in that early 80s alternative scene that still, kind of like me and hair metal, you know, they're still kind of locked in with that stuff. And that's okay. I'm not judging. But no, I don't think I can pull off a psychedelic furs list. Best way to get a hold of us is to hit Roy up on Twitter at Dogmatic67, DawgMatic67. You can find our great list on Spotify under the same handle. I'm on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. I don't always see the notifications, though. That's not me being snotty or anything. It just didn't always work out. So Roy is absolutely the best way to go. But if you find me on Facebook and hit me, I may be able to take care of that for you, too. But I get a lot of messages, and I don't always check them regularly, and so it may be a while, so don't take it personally. But thanks, as always, for your support of the Top 10 List. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart. Again, a Stark building and institution. We love Campus Bookmart. We have for a long time. They do such an amazing job for this amazing fan base. If you're looking for Mississippi State merch, and chances are you need some, and you may not even realize you need it, but I'm telling you now, you do. You need to get new Mississippi State merch, because there's going to be events you're going to go to, and you're like, Mom, I'm going to tell you, like, honey, are you going to wear that same old shirt? Yes, I'm going to keep wearing the same old shirt until you buy me a new one. Because more times than not, we just don't go spend a lot of money on ourselves. We just don't. Because we don't want to get in a doghouse. Because we don't know what you've got budgeted or what you've got planned. And so we don't go buy things, even if we need them. Just because of the fact, we don't want to upset the balance of power. It's true, right? That's not necessarily a personal thing. Or maybe it is. Maybe it is. But treat yourself and treat your family to brand new merchandise from Campus Bookmart. And if you can't make it to town, let me encourage you to visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That's BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Reed Stallman. He is your new baseball NCAA transfer portal commitment. And really like this guy too. Now, there's a couple things that I want to point out here too. I'm not going to sit here and try to sell you on stuff. But in this situation, I think maybe some salesmanship is required. I like Stallman. I do. And we talked about this extensively on the show, and I've mentioned it a couple times. I've mentioned it on Gene's page, and it wasn't just Wisconsin-Dixie. We really needed a left-handed first baseman. You say, but Steve, why? Why? Well, number one, we don't have any returning left-handed power, right? You know, Hunter Hines was basically the only left-handed power we had last year, and he's going to sign a pro contract. Now, you got Nolan Stevens, and you really like the swing there, but that's a guy that's going to need some ABs. Do you want all that to fall to him? And people are like, well, I want this guy, and I want that guy. Guys, roster construction sometimes requires difficult decisions to be made. You're like, well, I want to go get the best players we can possibly get. Yeah, then you go out there with a complete, a nine-man lineup with, you know, eight right-handers in it, and then everybody's just going to eat you apart. You got to have some left-handers in there to keep people honest. And, you know, Lamontas likes this right-left-right-left combo. You know he does. But so now you've got a big piece here in Reed Stallman. Now, the first thing that people say, hey, Steve, he only hit 240. Well, part of that's because of the reason that he was hurt in the middle part of the year. Did his best, kind of played through a sprained wrist. Average began to dip, and eventually just didn't get better. So they sat him for a couple weeks. He came back. He still wasn't quite 100%, but he did get going late and finished the season on a pretty big flurry. It hit 310 the last 10 ball games, hit 5 of his 15 home runs. Big physical guy, 6'3", 6'4", 225 pounds, really nice catch radius. So makes it a lot easier over there to erase errors, right? And then also, too, you like a left-handed first baseman defensively for a few reasons, but one of the main reasons why is because the glove is on the right hand side when you're picking off. You're like, oh, really? Yeah. And I don't care what anybody says, it's a more natural position for a left hander. And yeah, you still got to defend the line, it's true, but you can do some of that with his placement. But you got the glove to the right hand side, so when the pitcher throws over, it's a very natural progression rather than. Yeah, because you can't get over there and catch the ball with the left glove and then slide back to the bag. It's kind of a swing tag. Like, you catch it and you have to kind of turn and tag. It's just not a natural movement for a right-hander. So you have that left-hander, it makes pickoffs that much easier. But again, you need left-handed power. But you look at this batting average, 239. And yeah, you look at it and say, well, you know what, Steve, it's not really good. It was worse than that when he was hurt, then he got hot later in the year. But here's some things that jump out to you. His OPS is over 1,000, 1.001. That just didn't make a lot of sense, right? He played in 47 games. I mentioned he missed six, and, you know, with that wrist injury. But he still managed to score 48 runs, which was second on the Campbell team. How about that? Do you expect that? No, you probably didn't. He had 38 hits, 6 of them doubles, 15 of them home runs. So over half of his hits were extra bases. Drove in 53 RBI, which was second on the team. And he walked 47 times, which led the team. He struck out 43 times. So again, another guy that's walking more than he's striking out. He was also hit by the pitch 13 times as well. And then what was he, 8 for 8 in stolen bases? Yeah, 8 for 8 in stolen bases. Was able to get a bunt down one time too to move some runners and 3 sack flies too. So I think it's an interesting piece. Is this a guy that's going to carry you? Is he going to hit third and fourth in the order? I don't think so. I think you probably have him hit sixth, maybe seventh. But that it's kind of like a snake hiding in the reeds when you got a guy that's got that kind of power. Now, he did tell me at times he kind of struggled a little bit against the shift. And we've dealt with that, right? And so he's going to have to embrace taking the ball the other way a little bit. And there is some video footage of him out there doing that. But a lot of it, too, you know, with that injury, by his own admission at times, he got a little pull heavy. Another thing that really stands out about him is defense. Now, you can't have a hard-handed first baseman. You just can't. This life just doesn't work that way, right? If you do that, everybody in the world is going to be furious because you can't make plays. Pitchers have to make more pitches. You know, you're constantly having to chase the game. But in 385 chances, which is obviously the most on the Campbell team because of the fact that he played first base, but 385 chances, he made 3 errors. That's it. Was part of 21 double plays. So really good defender, and again, good rangy guy, got some length to him. So I like the take, and there's some other people out there, of course. Again, one of the things that it really frustrates me about the message board community is it's not just the fake experts, which is probably the number one thing. You know, the guys that go read 1 million message boards and then try to pass off the information as their own. Okay, well, according to sources, you know. Yeah, your source was the Alabama message board. But in addition to that, it's like right out of the gate, like there'll be a guy that goes in the portal and we think, oh, we got to be on this guy. Oh, we got to be on this guy. And then like somebody from the staff will follow a guy. Oh, we're on him, we're on him, we're on him. Oh, we didn't get him. Oh, we got to go fire everybody. Well, do we even offer him? Oh, I don't know. Did he visit? I don't know. Well, then somebody else will jump in and say, well, according to my sources, you know, he visited. We blew the visit. You know, it's like we create this narrative within our heads to kind of justify our own beliefs. But the reality of it is this. The majority of these kids, when they commit, many of you have never even heard of them. You understand my point? It's like the very first time that you hear their name spoken is when they're committed to Mississippi State. And so automatically, before anybody does any research at all, we just kind of jump on it. And this portal thing is different, right? I mean, we're all learning. We're all evolving. It's just like, you know, there's analytics out there that some people are using. You don't know what the criteria is, you know. And I think the best thing to do with all this stuff is to understand that a lot of the stuff that is out there has to be taken with a little bit of a grain of salt. Because, again, it is still also very new. That's not to be critical of anybody, but it's just like everything that happens in life. You know, anything that is measured improves. And so the longer you do it, you say, okay, well, now we've got some data. We can go back and look and say, hey, a few years ago we rated this kid here. Well, what were the dynamics there? What did we do differently? How do we learn from this? And so things evolve over time. But just because, you know, somebody has some analytics out there doesn't mean it's the be-all, end-all. It's just some person's opinion, you know, based on their own particular formula. Not to be, again, judgmental of anybody, but that's just kind of how life works. You know, that's just what happens. But I like the take. And so now you got 4 position players in. Of course, you have Garrick Fried, the third baseman from North Alabama. You've got Sawyer Reeves, the shortstop from the Citadel. You've got Noah Sullivan, pitcher, first base, DH, probably your DH, from UC Upstate. And now you've got Reed Stallman from Campbell. And it's interesting, too. Like, I read some commentary out there. And one of the reasons I wrote that article last week you know, about production, portal production for the Omaha 8. I wanted to see, hey, how many of these teams took a ton of transfers and how'd they do? Well, the bulk of the transfers, the majority of the transfers, were guys from G5, the ascending G5 player. Talked about that before, too. I mean, there's only a couple Braden Montgomerys in the world, right? And so you go back and you think, okay, well, there's the Paul Skeens thing. And, you know, we see Mississippi State in such very high regard. We think, you know what, hey, we ought to be able to get him. We were in the Final Two. We lose him to LSU. He goes and wins a national championship. Braden Montgomery, last year, best player in the portal by far. Goes to Texas A&M. He's hurt, but they're playing for a national championship tonight. And so we understand the significance. We need to win one of those big matchups. The issue right now, so far, is there's not the big matchup. There's not a Paul Skeens or a Braden Montgomery in the portal this year. There's not. Now, that may change. You know, we still got, 10 days or so? I guess closer to 2 weeks. But anyway, Braden Montgomery didn't go in until much later, like right before the deadline. And we'd been hearing for weeks that he was going in, and people were like, no, he's not. And he did. He did go in. And we really felt good about it. And obviously we had some connections with the family we felt good about, but ultimately Braden made the decision to go to A&M. And it's worked out well for him and for Texas A&M. But we need to get those caliber of players. Again, the problem we have right now is there's not that guy that's going to like change the trajectory of your program in the portal. We knew Paul Skeens was going to be ridiculous. And what's funny about that too, I remember when we first started talking about Paul Skeens, the majority of people had no clue who he was or what he was about or anything like that. And now all of a sudden, you know, he's in the bigs. You know, we all became believers very quickly. It's like, oh, how good could he be? He's at Air Force. He was at Air Force, right? And so for those of you like, I really wish we'd get a bunch of Power 5 transfers. Well, there's not a Power 5 difference maker in the portal. You know, last year, you know, Billy Amick left Clemson. Wish we could have got him. We took Logan Kohler, but Amick was going to Tennessee. Would have loved it had Billy Amick, right? I mean, of course, here they are playing for a national championship. And so, yeah, you'd like to be able to get those guys. They're just few and far between, and the competition is tremendous. And it's so easy if people say, well, just go outbid everybody. It's not always that easy either. Kyle Jones from Stetson, who Mississippi State was on and recruited, committed to Florida. And you say, but, you know, why Florida? Well, his family is from out there. It's true. His dad works extensively in Florida, goes to most of his games, you know. And so that was going to be something that was going to be a factor, you know. And how much money do you put on that? What's that worth? What are you willing to accept to not be able to see most of your kids' games? And what does that mean for the young man? It's like, yeah, my dad's been to all my games in high school, and he kind of worked his work schedule around coming to watch me play. What's that worth when all of a sudden that's interrupted? Is it $50,000? Would you be willing to take $50,000 to not see your kid play college baseball regularly? I would say probably not. Is it $100,000? I'd say not even that. Those are memories that are going to last you a lifetime. And so it's not as easy to just go write the check. Not to mention many of those people saying we need to do that aren't contributing. It's easy to spend somebody else's money, right? Just go do it. Go pay them whatever you got to do. Pay them whatever you got to make. So I can go buy a T-shirt, you know. It's true. I'm just saying it for what it is. Yeah, it's sometimes saying it what it is isn't always negative, right? It's important to understand that aspect of it too. But it's like we forget about these people are not just commodities. They're people that have families. They're people that they love and care about that they want to be able to see in the stands. And you know what? You're a kid from right there across the the state line there, the Florida-Georgia line, you know. And you spent last year playing for Stetson, you know. It's like, you know, this is just so much more convenient for my family. Not to mention that Florida played for a NAFL championship last year and nearly played for one this year. And yes, I know that it was a terrible year for Florida in many respects. They found it late. And you also have got about a half dozen players from Florida that went in the portal yesterday. As these teams get back from Omaha, they're doing their exit interviews. So you're going to see some guys go in the portal from some of these teams that were in Omaha. You can expect that to happen this week. So there will be some new names in there. Now, Mississippi State's needs, you're basically down to one position player. Now, who could that be? What could it be, right? Where do you need a guy? I think, you know, if you can get an outfielder or a utility guy, that's the way to go. Because you think about this year, I mean, how many times did we have to kind of – we couldn't sit somebody or give them a day off because it was going to cost us a ball game because we just didn't have the offensive depth we needed to. And there was some holes in our lineup. There were some times guys did some things. And, like, I look at Johnny Long, too. I mean, you know, like, Johnny just wore down over the year. He just simply wore down, you know. And, you know, Joe Powell, of course, still in the mix. And, you know, we'll see how things go. But, you know, I think getting Joe back, provided we can get him a waiver, and he still has a year of eligibility to work with, but they can work out that eligibility clock issue. He'll be back. And he'll have a full year in the program. I mean, people forget he joined during the holidays. I mean, he joined right at the beginning of the spring semester. It's a very significant situation. He's been away from baseball. Now, all of a sudden, you give him a full year and a year to work with GOAT, be in our strength and conditioning program. Joe will be a more valuable commodity next year, a bigger piece for us. But I think you got to go out there and find a utility guy. But if nothing else, you got to find a guy that gives you a little more offense. And you start working through these numbers. You know, you look at Garrett Fry with 15 jacks. You get 15 jacks from Stallman. You get 17 jacks from Sullivan. You know, and Reeves is a guy I think hit 5 or 6. But, you know, we had to add some power. We had to get more offensive because, you know, that was – let's just kind of call it for what it is. Beginning of the year last year, we said, you know what, if we're just decent pitching-wise, we got a chance to go to Omaha. We were elite pitching-wise. And if you'd had a closer out there, goodness gracious, right? But I think our bigger issues down the stretch were offense. We couldn't get the big hit. You know, you couldn't get that game-defining swing. And so now I think you got to fix that. You look at Justin Parker and say, okay, you go get you some guys out of the portal, work your magic like you did with everybody else, and we'll go out and get some big bats for you and see if we can't score some runs. I mean, that's basically the philosophy. And now you're down to this, you probably got to get you three pitchers. And two of those guys got to be weekend starters. They have to be. They have to be. And we're on some big names, and we're going to work this thing out. And, you know, people are like, well, Steve, won't you just tell us? Well, one of the reasons I don't tell you is that I want you to go run to Twitter and Instagram and go follow those kids and say, hey, we really want you at Mississippi State. I think it's unbecoming of us. It's my personal opinion. But, yeah, I think it's just best to let the coaches work and do their job, and then we'll report the news when the news is ready to be reported. And I know, listen, we all feel like, hey, that we're, you know, we're shareholders in all this. And we need to know what's going on. But sometimes there are things that are not ready for public consumption. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing for Mississippi State. Just let things play out. You know, it's like, well, I want to know. And listen, I get it. You know, football and basketball recruiting, much different than baseball, especially on the football side, right? Because, you know, we basically have built an industry around that, right? You know, find out that, hey, these kids are getting offers. And it wasn't like it was years ago where most of these kids didn't have social media. You know, you just had to depend on, you know, your own network of sources, and you had to work the high school ranks, and you had to go and go see kids in person. You know, nowadays, I mean, it's kind of a lazy man's game in some respects now. You know, people are always looking for the easier, softer way and to piggyback off the work of others. But it's a much different dynamic these days. But in baseball, it's just different. If you go to these baseball showcases, if you ever go to East Cobb or you go to a big baseball camp, people are very guarded about that. There's a lot of kids out there, and I don't know who advises them, but they're all almost in unison with this, with rare exception. They just don't like to talk about their other offers. They just don't want to talk about it, you know, and that's true. And even some of these transfer guys are like, well, I understand you took multiple visits. Where all did you visit? Well, you know, I just narrowed it down to my top 3 or 4. You know, so I don't know who set that paradigm, but it's rarely ever shifting. But we'll get it done. We'll get it done. And again, as I said on the show last week, if there's one thing that I have confidence in is Justin Parker identifying guys that fit his system, that embrace his philosophy on pitching. And I think that's where you need to think about your confidence level. You got, what, four spots left? And I expect three of them to go to pitchers. You hadn't taken a pitcher yet. And I hear that, Steve, I would feel better about a pitcher. Well, it's because these pitchers, everybody wants them. And so they're going to work through their visits. It's not like the football portal recruiting. If you don't get them to commit, you're in a football portal recruiting process. On their visit, they don't commit. Baseball is much different. These guys take a very methodical and business-like approach. They're going to take all their visits and then make a decision. It's a completely different situation. And we're on some of the biggest names in the portal, and we're just letting them kind of work through that process, and then we'll see where things stand. But I have a tremendous amount of confidence in Justin Parker to deliver some guys that are going to be difference makers on the mound for Mississippi State. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. I encourage you to Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Google is still your friend. Maybe not the friend it used to be, but still a friend. Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and the Facebook page for the Stark Vegas Clubhouse will come up, and you can go check the pictures out of the fine amenities that are available to you when you choose to stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, it's not just for weekends, right? It's not, a lot of people put their places up for weekends and to try to supplement their income. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse is available to you throughout the year. So, hey, maybe it's time to take like a midweek adventure to Starkville. A lot of times you come up here, it's game day weekend, you can't really maybe enjoy the town of Starkville, and maybe you don't want all the hustle and bustle. And so, hey, let me get up there this summer. Let me get my college friends together. Let me get my regular friends together. Let me get a couple's weekend together, guys weekend, girls weekend, whatever. There's no better place to stay than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse because it is a house. It's not five hotel rooms. It's five bedrooms under one roof. Full service kitchen, so you can go out and stock the refrigerator and you can cook all weekend. You get the wet bar there, that fabulous back porch area, which I cannot sell enough. You can just sit out there and just chill, watch the sunset, have an adult beverage, get the fire pit out there, and conversations just mean more around a fire. I don't know why I can't explain that. Maybe it's just something primal or communal about it. But if you're looking for a place to stay and bring a large group to town, look no further than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus and all your favorite restaurants and activities here in the Golden Triangle area. Maybe you're bringing a work group to town. It'd be easier just to have like a communal area where everybody can work, but then have your private quarters to retreat to. But it's a work group, friend group, family group. Stark Vegas Clubhouse is for you. Now, when you Google, you're going to have some booking options. You're going to have Airbnb, VRBO, and you can certainly book through there. But if you want to save some money, I can help you. Book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10. Gets you 10% off your stay when you stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Yeah, maybe you're a person that's like, I've got all the money in the world. I don't need a promo code. Well, I'm not built that way. And not to mention, I'm the kind of person, too. If it's free, it's me, right? So you jump aboard Stark Vegas Clubhouse, an incredible place to stay. And again, so conveniently located, but kind of tucked away in a quiet area where you can kind of have some peace and quiet. What's better than that? The Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right, so a lot of people wonder, well, Steve, what about these other visitors? And kind of what's next, for Mississippi State? Well, let's start with Tyler Miller. He's committed to LSU, four-star offensive tackle from Laurel, Mississippi. Mississippi State did host him. He is kind of keeping a low profile, but I believe Mississippi State has made this thing interesting. I believe they have, and we'll see what happens. And obviously, I have a lot of faith in Cody Kennedy. I mean, from the time that we hired him, he has done an amazing job recruiting, basically rebuilt the offensive line last year through the transfer portal. I think ideally what you'd like to do now is begin to kind of get your high school guys in and to develop them in your system. And then as guys maybe age out, graduate, or perhaps don't develop the way that you want to, then you go get a guy in the portal. My hope is that the line is not so incredibly reliant on the portal moving forward. Getting a guy like Tyler Miller will be a big part of it. Now, Tyler Lockhart, he's a guy from the very beginning I have projected to go to Mississippi State. I still believe that's the case. I know that he's committed to Auburn. He did take the official visit to Mississippi State over the weekend. His brother TJ Lockhart is here. His buddy Fat Clark is here, and that's a significant part of things. They're always together. The three of them are as thick as thieves, and I think in the end, Tyler Lockhart will opt for Mississippi State. It is easy to be committed to the out-of-state program in the month of June, but when the in-state programs really want you, they got like 6 months to kind of chip away and chip away and chip away. Not to mention, Tyler Lockhart is not just the average recruit. Tyler Lockhart is going to be in a lot of Mississippi State games this year. He doesn't plan to take any other official visits. I mean, that can always change. But he doesn't have anything else set up. Of course, he's already visited Auburn, visited Mississippi State. But he is going to be on our campus an awful lot between now and December. And you start thinking about that. You know, it's like, how many times is he going to be around our players? The relationships that he builds, I think, are going to be primarily Mississippi State relationships because he's going to spend a ton of time here. Hugh Freeze and Auburn, obviously, they're recruiting at a very high level. And it was a very big coup for them to get Tyler Lockhart. I think they're going to have to work exceptionally hard to keep him. I mean, this is a guy just down the road on Highway 82. Do you want mom and dad having to pick which ball game they go to every weekend? That's something to consider too, right? You have two guys playing SEC football. And do you want to miss Tyler's game to go to TJ's? Or do we go to Tyler's game and miss TJ? Or does mom and dad split up? That's decisions, real-world decisions between real people that have to make some difficult decisions. I just don't think Tyler Lockhart's going to force his family to do that. And I think that's just a minor part of it, but I think in the end, Tyler Lockhart's developed a really good relationship with Coleman Hutzler. Kamario Taylor, of course, no question about him. Cortez Thomas spoke to him yesterday. He says he's going to make a decision in about a week. I think it could come any time. And I have said basically for a year, I expect it to be Mississippi State. He was on campus this weekend, got a chance to hang out with Corey Ellington, Kamari Rogers. Those guys are friends. Kamari, finally healthy, has really, really, really built a good relationship with Corey Bell. So maybe we start seeing Kamari get some more reps this year, and I think that helps. But I think Cortez Thomas, again, recruiting's about relationships. It's not just about your coaching staff. It's about your players. And Cortez has a ton of relationships with the Mississippi State roster. And I think it's just a matter of time before he announces for the Bulldogs. And again, that's another four-star. He's not rated as a 90 by the 247 composite. Kevin Otis, his coach had told me some time ago that he is going to be a summertime decision. We were hoping it'd be this weekend, but now he is saying he's going to announce in August. And again, another four-star defensive lineman. Mississippi State has been the leader for some time now. David Turner's done a really good job with him. And so those are two four-stars right there we expect State to have on the commitment list before we play Eastern Kentucky. So you begin to kind of work your way through that. Not even counting what Tyler Miller and Tyler Lockhart may do, but these two guys we expect to be in the class. And we're going to need to get some of these four-stars. Matter of fact, somebody asked me, hey, can we get in the top 20? Well, yeah, we can. But in order to stay there, we're going to need to get Otis, Thomas, Lockhart, and probably Miller. And you get Caleb Cunningham, I think you could have a historic class when it's all said and done. But right now, this class is largely comprised of three stars. You're going to need some of those guys to go up, or you're going to have to add to the mix. That's an important aspect of all this. Devin Ferris, offensive tackle out of Heights High School in Houston, Texas. He is a guy, too, that I think is just kind of a follow-for-now prospect. But you watch his film, and you can see why he was worth the trouble to bring in now. Massive 6'5", 305-pounder. I was told last week that I'd really watch the home state Cougars, you know, being able to stay home. This, for some of the same reasons we talk about Tyler Lockhart, you know, Devin Ferris kind of faces that same situation, right? And there's Mason Dunn, Ole Miss commitment. He was a guy, obviously, that we liked very early on. And, of course, from Chad Bumpus' high school, you know, not one that we want to give up on, but you got to start thinking about the defensive backs in this class. How many are you going to take? Now, you got a bunch of guys out of the portal. They're going to age out this year. Their eligibility will be exhausted. And so I think you got to take Mason Dunn if he wants to come. Now, he's a guy that keeps it pretty low-key, doesn't do much media. But a very talented player. When Tupelo came and played the 707 tournament, he wasn't here. I was hoping to see him in action. We'll get out there and see him sometime this fall. But that's a guy, too, I think you got to stay on. I think he's one of the best defensive backs in the state. I don't think there's much question about that, especially at the corner side. Cortez is a guy that can play safety or corner. But if you start working through this and think about what you have, and there were so many people that talked about, you know, defensive recruiting, you find a way to get Tyler Lockhart in the class, and you Cortez Thomas and Odoms, or Kevin Odoms, I think you feel really good about the direction of your defense. You begin to kind of have some young guys that can kind of build, you know, around each other. But, yeah, so no official visits now for a while. So everybody can kind of take a pause as we get ready to go. But I think you'll get some good news on Cortez Thomas this week. And then, that again, that's in the four-star. You add that to the class, and then, you know, I think you're probably going to remain in the top 25 probably until we get into the season. And certainly if you add Kevin Otis in August, you feel even better about that. And so Jeff Labby, I think, guys, doing a great job. And as I mentioned earlier, I think having some young blood on staff makes a difference. I really do. And I think Labby is a guy, too, obviously, that understands what it means to recruit in this state. And let's not discount the fact, too, you still got Ladarian Clarity out there, too. You know, cousin of Martin Emerson, another four-star. You find a way to get him, you feel awfully good about life. But a lot of these defensive backs that we're on, you begin to kind of wonder, you know, how do we make these numbers work? What if Jalen Morgan wants to come, right? And I love his game. I absolutely love his tape. But you start working your way through this, and you begin to realize, you know, in the defensive backfield, things could get interesting quick. Also, there's Kyle Johnson out there from Bunky, who visited last weekend. And we thought he was close to committing last weekend, and then he ends up going to Houston. And he said he was going to do that. It wasn't a surprise development. He said he wanted to go to Houston. He had committed to them. They've been on them for a while. He committed to visit there, not commitment per se. But, let's say Kyle Johnson wants to come this weekend, Cortez Thomas. I think you got to take him. I think you just got to figure it out. And you kind of work your way through it. But State is on some really good kids, and I think that's an important thing to understand. This staff has come in, done their own evaluations, and just like the Austin Howard thing, I mean, State really just kind of got on him about 2 weeks ago. And now he's committed. You flipped him from Vanderbilt. So I feel good about where we sit, but you've got work to do, and that's the important thing to understand. We still have work to do, because if we're going to stay in the top 25, and right now we're, I think, 10th in the SEC, we got to keep adding to it. But with 17 commitments, I think there's a lot more optimism about the class. And to kind of break it down for you, as it stands, you've got 5 kids from Mississippi. You've got 3 from Alabama, 2 from Florida, 2 from Georgia, 2 from Louisiana, 2 from Tennessee, and you got 1 from California. And that kind of breaks down, too. You start working through all that aspect of it. You already got a couple running backs, probably take a guy from the portal in December. Got, you know, what, 3 receivers right now, a couple of offensive linemen, got some other guys kind of listed as defensive linemen. You know, we know that Kevontae Henry will play Jack linebacker, but he'll at some point put his hand in the ground. And you got 3 backers committed, and you start working through all this stuff with Tyler Lockhart, too. It's like, you know, how many backers you going to take? Well, I think you take 4. There's no way you don't take Tyler Lockhart. And you've got 3 defensive backs also included in the mix here. And so Steve Miller is another guy that's listed as an athlete, but he'll be a defensive back. So you got 4 defensive backs already. How many do you take? I think when you look at this roster, that's probably one of the most significant areas of need is the secondary. And they're addressing it. All right, if you hadn't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com, and you can pre-order the new book, The Dude, The Life and Times of Duty Noble. I'm so excited about that. Can't wait for you guys to have it, and I'll be working on that, you know, this evening and until we watch the College World Series. I'm going to watch college baseball. I haven't had a chance to watch any the last 2 days. I guess I watched 2 innings yesterday at the end. It was 2-1 Tennessee, and then they get the 2-run jack to kind of get some separation. So it should be a fun night tonight. I can't wait to watch, even though we're not playing. But there's a lot going on, and it's so weird to think about this. It's like they're playing the College World Series now, and then here we are constructing next year's team through the portal and through the signing class and trying to recruit those kids to not go in the draft. And then they'll be here July 5th for summer school. And then next thing you know, they're here for fall classes and we're in the fall baseball scrimmages. I mean, it's like the older I get, it seems like the faster the years go by. It's true. It's true. And when you're a young kid, it seems like it takes forever to get to your birthday. It feels like I have one every 6 weeks sometimes. But the reality of it is a lot that's going to happen here in the next few weeks. Football recruiting will, probably after this week, will slow down a little bit until we get into August. Probably. I've learned to never say never with Jeff Levy. For the next couple weeks, you know, we're going to be working through this transfer portal baseball thing. So keep it locked in over at genespage.com, and we're going to do our absolute best to keep you apprised of breaking news as it happens. And we're very proud of the job that we do. And if you need a break, let me encourage you, come to Starkville and go float at True Rest. You know, Dana's doing a great job up there. Things are going really well. It's summertime, so this weekend was packed. But during the week, like if you're just in town or whatever, if you live here, you live in the Golden Triangle, or you're taking a day off, the availability to book during the midweek is a lot better than it is when the kids are in town. When the students are in town, the faculty, everybody, like right now, everybody's like on vacations and things like that. So you've got some time to get in. If you just want to try it, now's a good time. Call 662-268-7601. And it's so interesting. I have so many people that hit me up. It's like, Steve, you know, my wife has so much trouble sleeping. You know, she's got this problem with her neck or her back. Or you know, my husband, he never really gets to sleep well. This may help you. You know, that's a thing to understand. Like, I sleep so much better when I float, but I find that I wake up earlier in the day because thus you're getting your show early. Because of the fact when I float, and I floated a couple days ago, I wake up so much more refreshed. So the sleep that I get is so much more restful. We had a gentleman just the other day told me he hadn't had a full 8 hours in about 25 years due to some chronic pain stuff. And he came and floated. He didn't get the full 8, but he got to 7. He said usually he gets about 2 or 3, wakes up, goes back to bed, and that's a tough way to live. And so, again, maybe if you're dealing with stress, anxiety, insomnia, you know, aches and pains and things like that, perhaps we can help you at True Rest of Starkville. Be sure to follow us on Facebook. I'm going to get out of here. I got a big day in front of me, and I'm happy to get this show done and up before noon, but I felt like the developments of the weekend, we needed to go ahead and get this thing done. I started to do it last night, but I just didn't have it in me. And so glad we took some time together this morning. You guys have a great Monday. I'll be back on Wednesday. And you never know, we may have another football or baseball commitment by then. We certainly hope so. It's so much fun to add and get to know these new student athletes that have chosen to wear our branding and represent our university in the years ahead. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.